Welcome to Influencer Marketing for Destinations, part of the Destination Marketing Podcast Network.
Welcome back to another episode of Influencer Marketing for Destinations. We are very excited to be talking about a new big topic today, and we have a new fun trend for you as well. So we're excited to talk about media kits today and how important they are to both influencers and destinations. And I know Jess has an amazing trend for us today as well. How are you, Jess?
Good. How are you doing today?
Good. It's exciting to see our podcast be growing and so many people listening. So thank you for listening, everybody.
Yes, it really has been cool to see just our numbers grow over the last several weeks. So thank you for tuning in. Like Jacqueline said, we have an amazing episode talking about media kits. But before we wanted to dive into that, I wanted to take a time out for trends. As I'm sure you have heard or are aware, Instagram just released their newest update. And this update has been... Honestly, we've been waiting for this one for a while because they just rolled out insights for Instagram Reels. Up till now, we haven't been able to see anything for our Reels, you know, the account's reach, the impressions, the plays, anything like that. So this has been awesome to go back and see. And it's not just for the Reels that you're posting moving forward. You're actually able to go back and look at your past Reels as well. So it is a little different than a typical post where we don't have our reach and impressions. They've kind of rebranded it to discovery and interactions. So you're able to see that along with how many times your video has been played, how long it's been played. So that's been really cool to see. I think it just gives both creators and destinations a little bit more insight into how well their content is performing. So really excited about that new Instagram rollout that they just took place just a couple of weeks ago.
And so needed. I mean, it's been a long time coming for this. So this is anytime yes. We can get insights and data, it is so necessary to help us move forward and create the best videos.
Yes, agreed. I feel like it's not complete yet. I feel like there could be a few more things that I would like to see in this update, but it is a step in the right direction. So we'll take it.
Yeah, we'll take anything we can get at this point.
Yeah, exactly.
Awesome. Well, thanks, Jess, for that update. And that is so important for all of our listeners, destination and influencers. So with that, we will dive deep into our topic of media kits today. There is so much to cover in this topic. So I'm excited that we get to ask each other some questions.
Yeah, I think it's great because we have both seen both sides of the table, right? Whether it be the influencer side or the destination side. And honestly, both sides benefit from a media kit. So I think it's valuable what we're going to be sharing today, and I hope that it will help both sides have more meaningful collaborations together.
Me too. So with that, Jess, why don't you, for those readers who are maybe very new into influencers or new into kind of doing influencer marketing on the destination side, let's describe for them what a media kit is.
Sure. So a media kit, if you want to think of it just in a typical professional setting, it's kind of like your resume. I would say it's a little bit more creative, can I say that, than a typical resume.
Yes.
I feel like growing up, resumes were very black and white, straightforward. But a media kit, you can kind of add your own creativity and personal flair. You can brand it. But basically, it will share as much about you as possible to a client so they can get to know you, your audience, your brand, your values, your services. It is a complete kit. So with that saying, it is a little different than a resume because I know at least several years ago when I was creating resumes, they kind of wanted you to limit it to a page or two. But with a media kit, I've seen some media kits be up to 10 pages long. Not saying that's recommended, but it's definitely going to be more than a one-page document that you're providing your destinations.
Wow. Yeah, I was just going to say that. I've definitely seen media kits reach to probably about 3 to 5 pages at the most. I definitely haven't seen 10, which I'm a little grateful for. That is a little long for me.
Yeah. Yep. It can be excessive.
Yeah. And I love seeing the creativity that people put into it and how they describe their brand in their media kit. So it is something really fun that I think is cool to put together.
Yep, I agree. So that basically, if you're new to the influencing marketing world, that's a media kit. We recommend every influencer to have a media kit. I think it's really critical and it's helpful for the destination. Would you agree with that?
Yes, definitely. I think just like a resume, even though it's not the one page and not as professional or business-like, you still have to remember that your media kit is convincing the audience or your destination to give you the job. So yep. No matter what you put in there, just have that in mind. You know, you want to make sure that you put information in there that is going to give them, you know, the sell-off and want to book you right away.
Exactly. So from your point of view, as you know, are working with the destination, what does a destination like to see in a media kit?
Yes, this is such a good question because, and like I said, we know that each media kit is going to be creative and different and branded to your personality and your business. So we know that there is going to be some flexibility there. However, there are a couple things that we like to see. And one of those things is definitely, you know, demographic and data regarding your platforms. So not only link to the platform so that we can access them very quickly, but also have some data that tells us the behind the scenes, right? If we're going to hire someone, we want to make sure that our audiences match and that we're a good fit for each other. And so this helps with the goal setting and with our values and making sure that everything is going to be successful from just the look of the photo to who it's targeting and reaching and talking to.
Yes. Yep. I would agree. I think all of those important steps that you would want to have as a destination. Do you think when they include like their pricing sheet included in their media kit, is that helpful?
Yeah, that was actually the second thing I was going to say. We oftentimes get a lot of media kits that don't have pricing. And as much as it's fine to keep it separate, I know a lot of people do their media kit and then they have a pricing sheet that they attach separately as a separate document. And it's fine if you include both of those. However, if you include just the media kit without the pricing, it does get a little frustrating because then we have to exchange a few more emails in order to get the information we need to make that decision. So to help with that, I know a lot of influencers do get nervous sharing their pricing, and I can definitely understand why. You know, you don't want to cut yourself out of the competition or, you know, price too high or low depending on what you're doing. But I can tell you that even if you provide a range or even if you provide some packages, some examples to give us an idea of what a package might look like so we can create something custom, that helps us so much because each destination has such a different budget range or such a different price that they're trying to fit within. And we can really try to figure out if this is going to work for both of us because we do want to make sure the influencer is getting the price that they're valued at.
For sure. Honestly, that's great insight for me because in the past, what I've done is I've got my media kit with the pricing sheet and my media kit without the pricing sheet. So when I am cold contacting potential clients, I typically just send my media kit without the pricing sheet. And then when we develop, you know, a conversation and start chatting about, you know, possibly having me out in the destination, that's when I provide my pricing sheet. But that really is good, valuable information. Maybe I could save them some time, some less emails going back and forth if I just provided it right off the bat and gave them that range, packages, and the flexibility. So that really is helpful for me as an influencer just listening. So hopefully it's helpful to other people listening as well.
Yeah. And obviously there's no standard for that. Everyone is so different. And I think, again, just thinking about who you're targeting is going to be the decision-making factor for you. So if you're contacting what you know is going to be a very small destination, maybe they already don't have a lot of followers on Instagram, so you know they're probably going to want a boost in followers or some help with assets, then you can probably assume that they would have a smaller budget for their destination as well, so you can help accommodate that. If you're targeting, you know, Disneyland, which obviously has a ton of followers and a very big budget, then you might be able to go without the pricing kit for them or even just tell them, you know, that you're open to suggestions and they might be able to accommodate that as well.
Yeah, I think that's great points. All great points. So we've chatted about a few things that you think are necessary, that they need to be included in a media kit. Are there things that they're not needed, but you still appreciate seeing?
Yeah, so I think, again, this comes down to the creativity part. We definitely love seeing paragraphs about your brand and about your business. And I think that's definitely helpful, but not always needed. I know there's a lot of information that we can glean, and we've mentioned this in past episodes. When we vet influencers, we look at everything from photos and videos and content there to captions and hashtags and all sorts of different things, how many posts that are ad sponsored versus organic. And so when it comes to learning about the brand, I think this is helpful, but it's not always necessary. And sometimes we read it and sometimes we read it later, you know, it comes along down the road.
Yeah. Yep. I think that's great. Any other things that you'd like to mention that you like to see?
Something that we like to see, and it's always interesting, but it doesn't make or break the media kit by any means, is, you know, past campaigns or collaborations and some testimonials. These are always perks and they're helpful and nice to know. It kind of gives you a reference almost, but if you're acting professional and doing some of the things that we've talked about with pitches and with emails and being professional in the past, then this doesn't make or break it either. It's just helpful and nice.
Awesome. Okay. That's really great to know. I've learned actually a few things that I might go back and tweak my media kit just a little bit after chatting about this. So thanks for providing that insight.
Yeah, definitely. I know I honestly wrote my first testimonial for a media kit just a few weeks ago. It was surprising. I've never had an influencer ask me for that, but it was really fun to be able to look at our collaboration a little more closely and to be able to provide that for her. So I'm glad that she's putting that in.
I think that's great. Did she just ask that through like an email after mm-hmm. after the collaboration?
Yeah, just through an email. We had done a really awesome first collaboration. She's mentioned interest in the podcast and she's listening. So thanks for listening. And she asked for the testimonial about our collaboration. And so because of all of the touch points that we've had with her over the past few months, we're actually planning a second trip with her in the next couple months. So we're really excited to keep that partnership going. And so those are awesome ways to keep in touch with destinations and to keep that partnership strong.
That's fantastic. I love that. I think that's so cool. And honestly, you can get great feedback, whether that be positive or maybe a little bit constructive criticism, if you ask for that feedback after a collaboration. So yeah, I think that's great.
Definitely. Yeah, we haven't had a lot of people asking for feedback, but I think that's an awesome idea.
Yep, I agree.
So Jess, when it comes to the influencer side, how did you go about creating your first media kit? I just really want to hear this story of how you first got started and how you got introduced to media kits and, you know, what was that process like for you?
Yeah, so the process was a bit embarrassing because the way I found out about media kits was actually a destination asking me for one and me being confused by it. So I had reached out. It was a very, very small destination, which is awesome. I love working with them. And after we had finished or started a conversation, they had asked for my media kit. And honestly, I went and I had to Google it because I was like, what is a media kit? I have no idea. So that was my first introduction to media kits and what they are. Quickly after finding out what they were, it's not super hard to design one. I think Canva has amazing like free design templates that you can just download and use those or just use, you know, kind of have those as your inspiration and you can create your own. And there's so many free courses and free YouTube videos of how to create one, what to include. So it was really helpful just to know how to go about doing that. And all that information online is free. So that was really nice. So that's how I first started creating my media kit. It's definitely been tweaked through the years. I actually, in preparation for this episode, I went back and found my very, very first media kit, comparing it to today's media kit. And it is very different, which I think is good, right? You're learning and growing. So I think a media kit needs to be updated regularly. I go in and update it every month or two just to try and keep the stats accurate, add past collaborations, brands that I've worked with, just to try to keep everything up to date so I'm not scrambling when a destination asks for a media kit. I have it ready, prepared, and on hand, ready to email to them.
I love that. I love that you update it every couple of months because it is so helpful to have those numbers up to date. You're so right there. And it's really nice to have a media kit because, again, it's another touch point with you and the destination to keep that partnership strong. So I have some influencers that email me at least every January just saying, here's my updated media kit for the year.
I think that's fantastic. Honestly, it's a great idea. Especially, I also think in addition to like a new year, if there is a major change with your brand or with your family, I wouldn't be opposed to sending out the updated media kit after that, even if it's in July, right? Mid-year. I think any major change would be a great idea to just resend that out. That way people have it on hand.
Yeah. And any major change that puts you as the expert as well. I know, especially with Reels coming into play and a lot of new updates, I've had some influencers reach back out who we had just collaborated with about a month or two ago, you know, pretty recent, but they emailed me back in the past week and they put their insights to their Reels from our collaboration in the email. And that was so nice to see because I know that they care. And that they're following up with those past collaborations to give us the data they couldn't give at the time.
Fantastic. I think that's great. Yep. That's a great idea. I'm honestly going to go back and do that right now because, yeah, there's been some brands that, you know, we've worked with Reels and we haven't been able to provide much insights, but now we can. So I think that's a great idea to follow up and then having that updated media kit that you're continually sending out to your past clients and past collaborations.
Definitely. So with your media kit, to you, Jess, what is some of the most important things to put in there that we have or haven't mentioned already?
I think you've probably mentioned a few of these, but describe your brand, right? Describe who you are and what your values are. I think that's important. I try and keep that in the first page or two. I think the second biggest thing is your audience, just because you're trying to align your audience with what the destination is currently targeting. So as many insights as you can provide to your audience as possible will be really helpful to the brand. You know, ages, genders, where they're living, even you can find out information like their income levels and things like that, which is helpful to a destination who's done a lot of research on their target market. So anything that you can provide in that category, I would rank as one of the most important things to include in a media kit.
I love that. I have a specific question for you that I just thought about. There have been a couple, obviously we have a lot of media kits that we've looked at in the past, and some of them are very influencer-based. They have what we've talked about where it's demographics, audience information, pricing, brand information, whatever the case may be. But then we've also had some really unique media kits in the past that talk about kind of the mix of professional and influencer life. So, you know, if they were a content writer before they became a full-time influencer, or if they have some other certifications or things that, you know, maybe a little more resume worthy, I guess you could say, in their media kit as well. What do you think of that?
Fantastic. Honestly, anything that you can provide in your media kit that sets you apart from the competition, provide it. Obviously, if it's relevant, I will say, don't include things that are not, you know, relevant to the current partnership. But I would say, right, if you have past experience, like you mentioned, writing, fantastic. Include that because that will strengthen your blog writing skills. If you, off the top of my head, what I'm thinking about doing now is going back and including, I got licensed in social media management, which I think is important. Even though I'm not managing their social channels by going to their destination, I have the knowledge of how to harness the power of social media. So to include that in the media kit as well, I think would be helpful to, you know, include those professional skills like you mentioned.
Definitely. I couldn't agree more. So another important part that we've talked about with media kits is the design. Right. There are lots of Canva templates and lots of freebies out there that you can plug and play and place your information into. But one of the things I want to ask you, Jess, your opinion is when it comes to the design of the media kit, do you like more design or do you like more text, or what is that balance? I know we've had a lot of media kits that, you know, have a full cover page, a full, very visual, photogenic cover page, and then it goes into the data and the information on pages 2 or 3 and, you know, so on. But we've also had media kits that just go straight into the information. What do you think about the design aspect?
Honestly, I think it's personal preference. I don't think there's a right way to do it. I personally like, I have a cover page. I've got, you know, our little logo, our tagline, and then one of our images in the backs of it. So for me, I personally like it. I think it's a good visual introduction to the brand. Honestly, I think you can convey a lot about your brand just by having that first cover page, by the image that you choose, by the text, by the logo, by the font. I think there's so so much that you can convey without even saying anything. So I personally think having a cover page is awesome, but I don't think if you don't have one, it's wrong either. I think it's personal preference.
Yeah, I think so as well. I know we've seen both and they're both good. And I definitely think it's if you're specializing in photography or if that's kind of your skill set that you mm-hmm. want to focus on or, you know, have as your unique selling position, then definitely have a cover photo. You know, that shows your skill and things like that are definitely personality. So,
yeah, I think that's a great point, right? Try and showcase what you can bring to that destination in your media kit.
Definitely. Yeah. And we've also had media kits that are in different forms. So I definitely don't want our listeners to think that a PDF or some sort of designed, you know, document is the only way to go. I also have had some influencers in the past who have given me links to web pages or to private web pages even. So I have the link and I can look at it, but without the link, you know, someone else wouldn't be able to look at it so that they can keep that information, you know, controlled. Mm-hmm. And a website is really cool because we've been able to click around in the stats. There's a lot more interactivity and a lot more information that you can provide in a creative and different way to have it be more useful or more engaging to the person looking at it.
I think that's cool. That's a really unique idea. I haven't heard about them having a specific link. I do know a lot of people that have a website and a blog. They'll have a separate page of, you know, like a work with us page where they will include a condensed version of their media kit, but they won't provide, you know, like the pricing kit or some of that more sensitive information. And then at the bottom of that, you know, web page, they'll, you know, say reach out for full media kit type of thing. So I think both of those are cool options that you could provide to a destination.
Yeah. And I've seen that as well. It's really nice to have that work with us tab that and like we've talked about multiple times in the past, your website is so owned. You can do anything you want with it. It's yours to create and derive the way you want. So having that work with us tab has been so helpful because we know where to contact you. It has the contact form or an email and everything is right there where we're searching and looking at the blog and doing our research as well. So it's nice to have everything in one place.
Exactly. Yep. I agree with that.
So one of the things that I just thought about that I've never seen, but could be very useful, is a process page. A lot of our business on the destination side and agency side is very focused on the process. What are the steps to working with an influencer and how does that process work? And a lot of times there's a lot of either confusion or there's just a lot of flexibility in how the first steps go. You know, when you vet and research and first contact an influencer, the process is different for everybody. And so one thing that could be really cool and I would love to see in a media kit is what is the influencer's process? You know, how do you work and what is your style for the collaboration? We've had some influencers that like to get paid 50% upfront, like a down payment, and then receive the other half after the collaboration. We've had some influencers have other different nuances or particular things that they like to have done in the collaboration. And sometimes that information is really hard to glean when you just have a media kit. But including that information in some of your preferences would be really helpful.
Yeah, that really would. Now that I'm thinking about it, I haven't seen many influencers include, you know, that process sheet of what a typical collaboration looks like. But it would be helpful for both destination and influencer to be on the same page. So yeah, that's great insight. Thanks for providing that.
Yeah, I know a lot of influencers love phone calls. Some prefer emails, some just DMs over Instagram. You know, don't be afraid to state those preferences. And that just helps us to be more open to working with you and know how to reach you best.
Yep, 100% agree with that.
Well, Jess, is there any other takeaways or last, you know, nuggets of thought that you want to provide to our listeners?
If you take away today the importance of a media kit, we've done our job. I think if you're a new influencer, definitely start working on that. If you're a destination, 100% I recommend always asking for a media kit from the influencer. So those would be the two takeaways for both influencer and destination today.
Yep, and I couldn't agree more. We always ask for media kits on the first ask. And so listeners, if there's a takeaway that you can glean from the destination side, prepare ahead. It's definitely like Jess's story. Don't be ashamed if you have to create one off the fly, but definitely make sure to provide the information that's going to be most helpful for them. And if you do have the time to prepare, start now and start collecting and compiling the information so that you can set yourself up for success in the future.
Exactly. Well, everyone, thank you so much for joining us today on another episode. We are really excited to continue talking about all things influencer marketing. If you'd like to join us outside of this podcast, be sure to go follow us. We are on Instagram, Pinterest, and Twitter. Feel free to ask us any questions, send us any DMs. We are excited to chat with you offline.
And if you want to send us an email, feel free. We'd love to hear your story and your thoughts. You can find us at influencermarketing@gmail.com. Thanks so much and have a great day. Thanks for listening. This has been another episode of Influencer Marketing for Destinations, part of the Destination Marketing Podcast Network, hosted by Jess and Jacqueline and produced by Relic.